Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to one of the greatest feasts in history that's going to be celebrated for all eternity, and that is the Feast of Tabernacles. If you're fasting and the Lord's told you, go ahead and fast, but otherwise, this is the week to feast, and I've got to admit, it didn't hurt my feelings when I said, we get to party now? Now, I won't go into great details, but we had a open heaven situation on Saturday morning, and there was a party going on, as they say. It was a party in heaven, and it was a party celebrating the incredible love of the Lord, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we got to witness part of it, and it was actually so great an event. And, you know, I'm a big boy. I've broken more bones than many. Had some major tragedies in my life. I used to not cry. But I wept like a baby after this for about 2 hours. God is doing some things. Our Father and our Lord Yeshua are doing things that is preparing heaven for our reception. And oh, what a blessing that is. So tonight we're going to talk about many things, but one of the biggest things we're going to talk about is the Feast of Tabernacles and how it's celebrated. John and I were just speaking earlier on our pre-call at the importance of the feast. Many people say absolutely the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, Passover, is the most important feast. And I always have taken the attitude, if it weren't for Tabernacles, we wouldn't have had that because he had to be born. Christ was born on the last day of Tabernacles. According to the Jewish historians, he was born on the 29th of Tishri. And that was the, and it depends on how the days fall because of the leap years and everything. It actually fell. It was the first day of the feast. It's going to be the last day of the feast this year. But it was the first day of the feast that Christ was born. But it's the 29th of the Hebrew calendar. And what an exciting time. There's all kinds of reasons. If you look at what was done about Christmas and what is celebrated there, I'm not going to get into a great detail on that, but what I can say is the shepherds, the herds, they're not out when there's snow on the ground. They did pull their sheep in, and even though some of the herds were massive, they had a way of keeping track of them. They had feed for them during the wintertime because they stored that type of thing up, and the shepherds weren't out. It was too cold. This happened during September, our calendar September, 2 BC. So, what a time to celebrate. You know, it also is we're just finishing up the 10 days of awe, Yom Kippur, and the importance of asking forgiveness, the importance of cleansing. I know that several of us were on some prayer calls today that we were dealing with that very cleansing and asking for forgiveness, asking for freshness, asking for washing, and standing against the powers and principalities. So when we enter into this month, the month of Tishri, is one of the greatest celebrated months for those who have an understanding of the times and seasons we're in. This month talks about predestination, talks about the call, talks about being cleansed and anointed. It talks about being a king and a priest. It is the time and season where Adam and Eve were created. The first day of the month was considered the first day of creation, the year. So Adam and Eve showed up at that point. You're not talking about creation of the planets and all that, but of mankind. So when we get into this season, when we get into this time of celebration, it is a time of great rejoicing. For many of you that will watch Glory of Zion on Sunday mornings or do the replays, I want to encourage you. Robert Heidler did an outstanding job this month on several different times and services, but Sunday's talking about Tishri and the time and season, and the Feast of Tabernacles. A good part of the people there do build sukkahs, put up a little tent, a booth, and they'll dwell in it, or they'll actually have meals in it. In the past, we've done some of those things. We haven't had one up in quite a while, partly because of my challenges, but it's in our heart always. So as we go in to the feast, and it's tonight, it begins tonight, but the timing of it is the day, tomorrow. But in this time, in this season that we're in, the Lord is saying, now is the time, this is the season. This is when you are going to be blessed. This is when I'm going to show up. It's the cycle of feast that's designed to be a time of feasting, literally, more so than any other feast and celebration. It's also the time, like I said, when Christ was born. But in this time, in the planning, in the beginning of the new year, because it is the new year, the beginning of all years, God is saying, you got to wake up and hear the sound of the trumpet. It almost sounds like an old rock song, wake up and hear the music. But God is saying, wake up, the sound of the trumpet is sounding, and turn and repent. So we had the days of all. We had the times that we ask forgiveness for not only our own sins, but the sins of the nation. Now, we as people are supposed to be repenting all time, but this was a time when the sins of the nation were dealt with. This is the time of the scapegoat. They would take two goats, or a lamb, a sheep, a lamb, and a goat. And they would sacrifice the lamb, and they'd take the scapegoat, and they would tie a red ribbon around his neck and paint a red stripe down his back in blood, and they'd send him off into the wilderness. And if they found him soon after, and the ribbon had been bleached by the sun white, then he was spared. If not, then he was sacrificed also. But he was called the scapegoat because if the ribbon had turned white, he would escape punishment. It's time to be restored unto God. And that's the time of confessing. And more importantly, it's the time to rejoice because this is the time in the season where the Lord said he forgave the sins of the people. And he reestablished the nation for what they were supposed to be, his children. God is so merciful and so gracious. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, it's talked about throughout the Word of God. You know, it talks about appear before the Lord in a place where he shall choose. And at that time, he would send the people back to their town of birth or their hometown. So that's the reason Mary and Joseph and everybody traveled. They had to go back to their hometown. During this feast, initiated by God, it was a way of reminding Israel that every generation shall be talked about of their deliverance from Egypt. And, of course, the feast is significant in the fact that it foreshadows the work and action and the actions and ministry of Yeshua and that which he's doing. Well, it's not only the time of his birth, because many, many scholars recognize this. Not December 25th, but the 29th, which is September 29th, and this year of the birth, the 29th of the Tishri of Christ, and that he's going to return on the same day. Now, that's a biggie right there. John 1:14 talks about it. And when the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, and the word John chose to speak of Yeshua said dwelling is what it's translated to, among us, but it said tabernacling among us, which means to dwell in a tent or a stable. Isn't that interesting? They called it a booth. A cave was called a booth in the translation. So literally John was talking about Yeshua tabernacling with man, so he had to fulfill the scriptures. So just like John's intent, he was born in a manger, and he'll come again to dwell among us as Lord of Lords on this time of the year. You know, so when we look at everything that's going on, we have to recognize that we're being put on a path by the Lord. Back then, the people were put on a path to go back to their homes, back to the place of their birth, or their origin. God is saying, come back to your place of origin. Come back to me. Turn away. I'm leading you down a path. And in that path, you're going to find the glory of what I have to offer through my son, and it's going to be houses of glory. Now, Sharon talked about the glory a week or two ago, and how the Lord is saying there's a path before you right now, and you're not supposed to deviate from it. It leads to my glory, going back to his glory again. All the prophets, all the apostolic leaders are talking about his glory being restored. A month ago, we saw him, the Lord said, restore, restore, restore his glory. And he's saying, you're going to restore my glory back unto the kingdom, and it's my kingdom glory. My atmosphere is going to be filled with my word. And he says, I'm going to stay close to you. It's out of Psalms 32, 8 and 10. Instructing and guiding you on the pathway of your life to come back unto me. I'll advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. You will literally be able to see through my eyes if you'll come up and seek me. So we're not supposed to be stubborn about it. We're just supposed to surrender to the Lord right now and allow him to guide us to the place that he wants to take us, the place of his dwelling, his house of glory, his kingdom. So God is saying right now, we're in a time in the season that we're supposed to rejoice and praise him and thank you and feast and just have great joy because of what he's done, that he came. You know, everybody rejoices that he died and was born again, and I understand it, but it's more important he couldn't have died unless he had come to begin with, unless he was born. So all of you that still celebrate Christmas, you know, that's a pagan holiday, you know, understand that now is the time of the true Christmas, Christ among us, Christ dwelling among us, the hope of glory. It is the time and the season when we should be rejoicing, because this is the time he's showing us his glory. What was his glory? What was the Father's glory? His Son. And he came as the light of the world. So the love of Father came as a glory to be light. And that's where we are today. We're in a time of great shifts where the enemies, everything's being exposed in the light. They're making all kinds of noise. They're screaming, they're shouting, they're running around being stupid. And God is saying, I'm exposing the enemy. Even in our own ranks, in our military, the general that many of you have, Milley, that many of you have read about, has been exposed for out-and-out treason. Now, the current administration might not do anything about it, but I guarantee you the next administration is going to. And it's the administration that didn't lose the election. They just had it stolen. You can't have a treasonous general within your midst. He called the Chinese and said he would inform them if the U.S. was going to take any action whatsoever against them. That's pretty serious. That is an out-and-out act of treason, and I expect it is going to be dealt with. Now, I want to encourage you, if you have not gotten your communion elements, I want you to get them. We're going to take communion now, and we'll probably take it again in the end, so you might have to get a double. But we are in a time where the Lord is saying, come into agreement with him, his word. Now, I was kidding this morning because I've been on several prayer calls, which we took communion every time, and I said, I'm already on my fourth glass of wine, but it's only a sip. We use wine, and we enter into communion as much as possible because we want to recognize that which he's doing, and we want to be a part of it. So we commune with the Lord. We become part of that which he is doing and in agreement with his word. So literally, I want to take communion, and then the shofar is going to blow. And then we'll take it again, depending on what Matt chooses to do at the end of the call tonight. Probably the most important communion to come in alignment with and agreement with is the feast, the birth of Christ, the death, resurrection of Christ, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Those three feasts are going to be celebrated perpetually in heaven for all eternity. And heaven will be on earth, so they're always going to be celebrated. And the Lord says, during the time of the feast, that the nations will send delegations to Jerusalem. And if they fail to send delegations, their land will be judged harshly. I'm talking about 50,000 years from now. It's still going to be going on because the Lord said it would be. That's how important this feast is. So if you have your elements, I want you to join with me for a short communion. Because we're going to enter into what he did, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. You know, the red represents so much. It represents the Word of God, the body of Christ. And the body is represented as the Word. It's pierced, it's, you know, it's bruised, it's striped, it's without yeast, so therefore it's, they consider that the flat ribs, what, you know, representing without sin. The importance of it is this. It represents him. He came, there's his body. And he came this month, should be celebrated every year. And he came that we would have life and life abundant. And he came to reconcile us back to his Father and his kingdom works and fulfill the law. And he did so. But he had to come first. And then he said, well, he had to die, be resurrected, go sit at the right hand of the Father. But he's coming again at the same time. You don't have to believe me. Look it up yourself. You can do the research. It's anywhere you want to look, on the internet and other places. Now is the time. This is the season, Lord, where we celebrate your soon return. We don't know that it's going to be this year. We don't know it's going to be next year. It's going to be 5 years or 3 years or 7 years or 10 years or 20 years or 100 years. It just, the signs look like it's going to be close now, that we're getting awfully close. And Lord, we enter into the communion, into agreement with that which you did. You came that we may have life and life abundant. And we enter into that communion and celebrate with you. Partake of the bread. Lord, this little chalice of wine right here, a few sips, it represents your blood and your Holy Spirit. And Lord, it represents that just a few drops could wipe away the sins of the world. You died for us that we'd be sin-free, that we could live with you in your kingdom, that the kingdom would be made full of your sons and daughters. And we enter into that covenant agreement that we are sons and daughters, heirs and joint heirs, more than conquerors, kings and priests, as unto you, that you would be glorified. And we celebrate this as we go into the feast. I can't think of a better way to do it than coming into agreement of your covenant promise with us in communion. Partake of the wine.
Now give a shout back.
Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, the Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Now, John has got a powerful word, but I'm going to call on Stephen first because all of us have had busy weeks. But Stephen had a word he wants to speak before we get into the heart of the message today. And to see what literally is happening with our northern brothers and sisters and what God is saying. Stephen Dennison, will you please take the mic, sir?
Thank you, Wade. Pleasure to be here as always. And we see the Lord pouring out in so many ways. Up here in Canada, it's our election night, and we are waiting, of course, for results, but not waiting in any sense of fear, because the Lord has made it so clear over and over again that he has a destiny over Canada to bring healing to nations and that he's raising up righteous leadership. So we have spent lots of time dealing in the spiritual realms, pulling down strongholds and sending the angels and sending the host. And we know they're doing the work. We see it. We see it. We see signs. We see cloud formations showing up for several of us. And at the same time, just to like God's sense of humor, like, see, I am working. I told you I am. And so we're excited to see how the Lord is going to move, and we know how he does it will just only bring glory to him, such that no man could have even pondered it. That's how great of a victory we're going to see in our nation, and we believe the same, of course, for our brothers and sisters in America. Now, I wanted to share very briefly a prophetic dream that I had on Saturday night going into Sunday morning. I was woken at 3:37 a.m., and in this dream, I, with Howard Olson, who's many of you know from this call, is one of my co-leaders at Ecclesia 12, the ministry we started here on Good Friday in the middle of lockdown. Some people call it an underground church, but it is upstairs in an upper room. And I had this dream that we were kind of planted in a large, what I would call fancy church. And we were there to take the service. And so the worship started, and I approached the lead pastor, who was just dressed to the nines and almost intimidatingly good-looking, this young man. And I approached him, told him my plan, and that Howard and I had words to bring, and that we were running the service. And he scoffed at me, and he mocked me, and said we wouldn't keep people's attention for more than 10 minutes, and that people don't care what we have to say. And in my dream, I recall walking away feeling somewhat defeated and almost wanting to cry. And then, no, I walked back up to this guy, and the Lion of Judah roared out of me, and said no, and I touched his shoulder, and he flew back several rows in the chairs. And I said, I rebuke you, spirit of Jezebel, get out. That was the end of the dream. And 37 comes in. I was woken at 3:37. And so it brought to mind, and the number 37 had been brought to me in a previous dream a few days prior. And 37, of course, is the chapter in Ezekiel. And the Lord was saying to me, and this is how others have interpreted this as well, that this is the representation, this dream, of how we need to move forward, bringing spirit-filled messaging on authority and on the power of words, on the importance of bringing the prophetic and apostolic ministries to the body as they've been sidelined for so long. So we need to keep going, but we were going to find resistance, and that resistance was partially going to be embodied by a Jezebel spirit that indeed needs to be rebuked. So it was a call to boldness. But it was also encouraging to me because we were there. The reality was we were there. We were bringing this message to larger and larger audiences so they could be woken up. And so I felt led tonight that I would read aloud a few verses from Ezekiel 37. I know it's familiar, but this is one. I believe it's a guidestone for us for a call like tonight. I'll bring it forward again on Wednesday, that we are to prophesy this aloud over the dry bones in the ecclesias across our nations. They are going to wake up. We're seeing signs of it. We are seeing cracks in the dam. And we need to continue to prophesy and speak life. So I'm going to just read a couple of these verses. So we know Elijah's place in the Ezekiel's place in the valley of dry bones. There were many human bones in the valley, and they were very dry. This is the Amplified Version. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. So pray in agreement with me, folks. Pray with me right here, right now. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will make breath enter you so that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you so that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there's a thundering noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on the bones, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath came into them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So the Lord is saying to us right now, speak this out into the atmosphere. Prophesy breath back into the churches, the ones that have gone a bad way, the ones that don't really preach the word, don't invite the Holy Spirit. There are still good people there. There are people there ready to rise up, people there to take the mantle, people there to welcome the souls from the billion soul harvest. So prophesy to those bones. All these people came, these churches, the denomination started from good ideas and revelation from the Lord. And we, as the people that are seeing these things, are challenged right now, prophesy life into them. Glory to God. I'll yield there.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you so much. The Lord told me to do something. He said, give honor where honor's due. So always honor the leaders. And I know we have many leaders on tonight. Jim Gregory's joined us. Thank you so much, Pastor, for being here. There are words that God is speaking around the universe, around the world right now, our universe, this world, that are life in the midst of the death. And there's death everywhere. But God is saying, speak to the dry bones. John has got a word about tabernacles and how life came into being and what he's saying, what the Lord has said through several of the prophets. And then Sharon's going to bring a powerful word about putting God on the job. And that ties in perfectly with what we're saying tonight. We've got to literally interact with the Lord. We've got to do his word. We've got to speak his word. We've got to stand on his word and call forth the host to do what they're called to do through us. John Rockwell.
Well, thanks, Wade, and good evening, everybody. Glad that you're all here and being with us as we continue to seek God's face and to do his will and his kingdom. I'm going to talk a little bit, give you some good words tonight. Also, touch a little bit on what happened at Glory of Zion with the Tabernacles message yesterday, because I think there were some good words that Robert Heidler had given everybody. But I'll start with the words first, and of course, after that, I'll have a piece of music after I talk about what Robert Heidler had to say. But the keys of Revelation are coming to my people, which that's who we are. We need to be waiting without breaking, because breakthrough is definitely coming on the horizon very soon. And it's a year, 5782 is a year of awakening, arising, and advancing to where God wants us to be. And this Hebraic year is a time of resurrection glory, and that's restoring everything. You think the term resurrection glory may be kind of religious or maybe kind of fluffy, but it's not anything that of like that this year. It's going to be a powerful thing that's going to come as far as resurrection and reclaiming things that are stolen and those types of things. It's going to be coming back to our direction. And as I said, this weekend was a good weekend learning about tabernacles. Of course, Wade talked about, you know, trumpets and the days of awe, and we're just getting ready to go into tabernacles here. God's plan, what this is, tabernacles, is what it's going to look like this year. It's going to be a time to wake up, hear the sound of the trumpet, which we've heard that already, and that was the beginning of this month, at the beginning of the year. Turn and return. Also, be restored to God. And finally, which is what this week is all about, is rejoicing. And the year, the Hebraic year, is all about keeping in God's cycle, which the tabernacle of Moses is about redemption and cleansing. And the second room is about provision. And in the third room, the Holy of Holies, is about God's glory. And if you tie that into what is going on with the feast, the first feast, the outer court, is about redemption, which that's Passover, and that's when Yeshua was sacrificed. And then provision that we have is the holy place. And then glory is the, this time that we're in now, getting to tabernacles. And in between those are the veil and the summertime, which is really quite warm. And it's kind of, there's not much as far as being able to gather and that kind of thing together. The fall feasts are most important time in the biblical calendar because they form a 21-day countdown designed to bring us into the presence of God at the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's a roadmap to revival for the world, actually. And God has that plan for renewal and revival in these feasts, and especially in the Feast of Tabernacles. So anyway, that's just kind of a real snippet of about what he had to say for about 45 minutes, a brief synopsis of it. But again, if you really want to see the whole ball of wax that Robert talked about, go watch the replay from yesterday, and you'll definitely be blessed because it was one of the best ones that I saw him bring throughout the years that I've been watching and been celebrating the feast. And this has been the best one that I've seen, and my wife is the one that kind of commented about it as well, that it was a real good one. So go watch that while it's still available on the website. The piece of music that I've chosen tonight is a conglomeration of different vocalists and different instrumentations. You'll notice that it's very dynamic. It starts out slow and then rises and then slows down again and rises as well. So you'll be able to hear that. And I did not fix it because I think the dynamics were important. But listen to the instrumentation and the words as well, because I think it's a good piece to uplift you and to give you strength. So here's the song for tonight. Thank you.
Just exalt him. Just exalt him.
Praise you tonight and lift you on high, and that's why we're here, and that's why we're here, and that's why we exist, is to exalt and praise you. And without you, Yeshua, we would have no hope in this life and also in the life with you as well. But we just thank you for giving us this time, and we just praise you this evening. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You know, it's a good night. It's going to get better. Sharon's got a word about putting God on the job, which fits into everything we're doing right now. Stephen and I are talking on a regular basis. Sharon and I talk. I talk to a lot of folks. But you have to keep in touch with your leaders and what's going on about how to deal with the demonic, how to deal with the powers, how to deal with the principalities, how to deal with circumstances, and that comes back to putting God on the job, allowing him to do what he does, and then speaking his word. And Sharon's going to have a twist on it, but it's going to be very powerful. Sharon Casewear.
Thank you, Wade. Hello, everyone. God bless. So awesome. I am just going to read out what the Lord gave me, and then I'm going to just fly with the rest of it. So this was about a week and a half ago, and I had just been asking the Lord, okay, I want to be on time for the word submission for the calendar, so what do you have? And I wasn't getting anything. And so how I put it was, sometimes the creative canvas is blank because of a blockage that goes beyond the depth of our understanding. And the writing of this calendar submission was exactly that. It was about a week that I was asking Daddy for content for the calendar and context and drawing a blank. And then an early Sunday morning, I was waking up about 6 o'clock, which is early for me. I do go to bed later at night. I do have a phone ministry, and I have all hours of people from different parts of the country talking. And so 6 o'clock, I just kind of came to the surface and heard the words, it's our job to pray. It's his job to answer. And I just said, don't let me forget that, if that was you. And I went back to sleep. And then a couple hours later, I woke up ready for the day, and the words were as fresh as they had been 2 hours prior. And so I laid there thinking about it. I knew it was the Holy Spirit after a few minutes in conversation. And I said, okay, you are the one that engaged in this. So I thought, you know, I need to fix it a little bit. It's kind of harsh, and it could cause, you know, problems. It could be a little contentious for some people. What do you mean it's God's job? I could kind of hear that argument going on. And so I'm like, okay, let's see, it could say, it's our obligation to pray. It's God's obligation. And he kind of gave me a frowny face. I could tell he was displeased with the arrangement that I had just come up with. And I heard the words, just do it like I said. I'm like, whoop, all righty, you got it. That's easy. So as I began to spend time with him and just kind of go over that powerful word he had dropped into my spirit, he came up with another powerful word to complement it and to really affirm that I had heard what I had heard. And I really appreciate those, and he knows it. Because I'm willing to go out on the limb. I just want to make sure I'm out on the right limb and he's out there with me. And I knew I was when he finished with this. He said, just as you in no way could answer the prayer of salvation, you can in no way answer the prayers you pray to me. That kind of gave me two things. One, I'm under no obligation to try to make a prayer come to pass that I've prayed to him. It totally let me off the hook. Number two, he wants me to pray prayers that I can't possibly answer. He wants us to pray prayers we can't possibly answer. So that felt really good. And I knew it was going to be a little bit more of a teaching on this. And he let me know it's not up to us to try to make the prayer happen. And that will end up costing us. And it will leave a mark. And that mark, unfortunately, is against him. Because, you know, doggone it, I tried to help you and you didn't honor it. So it's called let go and let God. And it's not to be any effort on our part. That's why it says in Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So there will be times that we will be an answer to people's prayer. But again, it's out of our hands to bring it to pass outside of his perfect timing. We just have to let go and let God. So this absolutely and irrevocably 100% set me free from any obligation that I might have thought I would need or had to make something happen to help him in any way. I decided that it's going to be more like I'm staying out of his way and letting him do what he desires to do. And he let me know that our willingness allows for his will. So this is his plan. That's how I see it, and I am every bit on board with it. And then he showed me that Moses did not have any part in the physical parting of the Red Sea, except for the fact he prayed, and he was willing and obedient. It was Moses' job to pray. It was God's job to part the Red Sea. So think of the times where you prayed against all odds that God would do something in your world, but that hamster on the wheel kept grinding it out where your part was concerned. You must have a role to play. Otherwise, you're not doing your part. Well, our part is to trust him. And it is kind of exhausting just thinking about it for me. Like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to go there. That's a hamster wheel in itself. So he wants us to release ourselves from any responsibility of making any prayer we've ever prayed come to pass, period. It's not on us. The onus is on him. He said, ask and you will receive, not ask and then, you know, help yourself receive it. So in Proverbs 3, 4 through 6, it's made clear, very, very clear, that we cannot lean to our own understanding. We have to acknowledge him in all our ways, and then he'll direct our path. He'll even crown our efforts at that point with success because he desires us to be successful. It brings glory to him. It brings glory to his son. I think it brings pleasure and joy to them when their children are, I mean, think about it. You have children? Think about when your children are successful. It makes you just happy. And you can be the proud parent. Like, look what, you know, this is what I produced. So I don't think he's all that much different. And he is at the same time. So he said to write this, he said, today permission is granted to let go and let God. So I say that today to every hearer on this call and anybody who listens to the replay today. permission has been granted for you to let go and let God. You are not under any obligation to help our Heavenly Father. And contrary to popular belief, there is no such a scripture, God helps those who help themselves either. The origin is rooted in an ancient Greek writing. It's known the world over. It is not in the Word of God. Many do not realize that, though. That is not scriptural. The actual truth, really, if you want to know, is God helps those who put their trust in Him. And I'm going to read the scriptures. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Psalm 40 and 4. The Lord is good. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Nahum 1:7. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because, now I got to find where I went. Now hang on a minute, you guys, because it's on the back. He defendest them, and let them also that love thy name be joyful in this, in Psalms 5:11. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Psalm 9:10. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Psalm 37:40. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalm 34:22. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O Lord, that thou savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Again, Psalm 17:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Psalm 28:7. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Psalm 32:10. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Psalm 26:1. For they cried to the Lord, they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. 1 Chronicles 5:20. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 29:25. Need I say more? I pray this truth sets you free from the mindset that you need to somehow help God with your petition, but instead that you're ready and willing to do your job so he can do his, according to James 5:13 and 16. The prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or person is powerful and effective. It's time to get to work. So to know him is to love him. To love him is to trust him. These are words that he gave me when I asked him many years ago, as I was experiencing his presence very strongly And I wanted to know, how do I get this to the other people that you bring into my life and to my family and my friends? How do I get this to others, specifically what I'm experiencing right now? And he said, to know me is to love me. To love me is to trust me. I said, oh, okay. So here I am, you know, with my husband. I had to get to know him first before I knew that I could, you know, that I loved him. And why I loved him was pretty much because I knew I could trust him. So they all kind of hand in hand, very, very complimentary of each other. I feel like a lot of people in this world have been really deceived into believing that that God helps those who help themselves, that we have a role to play. We have to do something. It just doesn't seem right if we're just sitting on our laurels and praying. That's the deception. It is not by might, and it is not by power. It is by his Spirit through us to do what it is he desires us to do. And he loves to prove it. He loves to prove to you, yep, you heard from me, and I'm going to show you fruit of that. And he already has many times over, but I just want to just reiterate that permission has been granted to you to let go and let God. And our part as we pray is to trust. That's our, really, that's our part. Is when we pray, believe we receive and we shall have. And I go one step further. I just see it in my sanctified imagination. I just say, okay, this is what it's going to look like. You know, unless you show me different, I'm going to hold on to this picture. And a lot of times, you know, it's just exactly as I've seen it. And so really, really pray those big God-sized prayers that only he can answer, and then let him go to work for you. He desires to. And trust that he does. Trust that you can trust him. I will say this. I was going through a really rough, pretty tough time in 08. And I said, you know, Satan's just like a doggone yappy little dog on my ankles, Lord. He won't leave me alone. I've kicked him. And he just is relentless. And I said, give me something. And he said, am I holy? And I said, you are holy. He said, what is holy? What is holy? I said, wow, that's a really good question. So I kind of got into it, dug a little bit. Holiness is perfection. I said, I think holiness means that you can't lie. You're pure. You can't go against your word. You're kind of, you know, you have to stay right with what you said. To me, I couldn't really give it a definition, but I said, okay. He said, you can trust in my holiness. So, well, I'd like to have that in scripture, if you don't mind. And within a very short period of time, I want to say just a few hours, you know, I called my mom. I just said, Mom, here's what God said, you know, so you can go ahead and ask him what, you know, he wants to show us. He said, we can trust in his holiness. And so she was sitting on her couch and she looked over and she has a Psalm Proverb little booklet that she got from her great grandma or grandma. And it's very priceless. And she had it sitting on the ottoman. And she just opened it up, and it has a little, or it's a calendar thing is what it was. It had a calendar. And so the calendar would have a certain scripture. And so that particular day, she opened it up and looked at it, and it was Psalm 89, 34 and 35. And she said, Sharon, oh, my gosh, you've got to hear this. And what it says is, God to David, once I have sworn by my holiness, I cannot lie to David. He said he wouldn't alter the word that went out from his mouth. I'm like, oh, wow, that put me on the floor. No joke. Because I asked him for an answer, and he gave it to me. And I told that little yappy, stinking devil dog, I trust in his holiness to get you off my ankles right now in the name of Jesus. You have no place here. And it was gone. It was gone. So permission granted, let go and let God. Time to go to work, say your prayers, and then watch him answer them. It's his desire. It's his greatest desire to honor his son's name. And his son said, if you ask anything in my name, of my Father, if you ask anything of my Father in my name, he'll do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. They work together. So I just bless you all, and I pray this is just an absolute answer to your prayers. I love that. It's an answer to your prayers. All right.
Can I say something? I have an anointing all through my knees, Sharon.
Praise Jesus, Mom.
Oh, geez.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that
praise
anointing. Hallelujah. Go, Dad.
Thank you, honey.
Love
yes.
You. Love you. All right.
I'm proud
there you
of
go. You. Aw. Thank you, Mom. I'm proud of you. I love this venture we're on. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pass it on to, I believe, back to Wade.
Yes, powerful. Great, great job there. Thank you so much. You know, we so often miss the blessings because we try to do them ourselves. We try to manipulate or get God to bend to our thinking. And I have come to the determination a long time ago, everything I plan generally doesn't work, but whatever I line up with the Lord is going to come about. Matt has always got a great, powerful word. He's made it for us this evening. And Matt Fraser.
Thanks, Wade. I'm going to piggyback right off of what Sharon was talking about. Amazing how God puts it together. I had no idea what she was going to speak about, but I'll be brief. The Lord has really put this on my heart this week as critical for the days ahead. And I want to step into a very familiar passage in 1 Samuel 24, where David, as Sharon just referenced, he knew his position. He knew where his trust was. And this comes at a time when he was already on the run from Saul. Saul had just returned from pursuing the Philistines. And of course, David is already hiding in the desert. And he was in a place called En-Gedi. So what does Saul do? He took 3,000 of his men with him and set out to look for David in these crags where these wild goats were. He came to the place where the sheep pens and the cave there, and Saul, of course, went in, and he didn't realize that David and his men were in the back of that cave. So the men said to David, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" So David had an opportunity to take matters in his own hands. But David did something else. He crept up unnoticed and he cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Very familiar story to all of us. But it got my attention because I thought about David. I thought about everybody on this call as I was praying. I thought each one of us has been dealing with illness, financial burdens, family pressure, multiple situations from jobs, friends, adversaries. That little small thing that's constantly coming after us. Much of like David, we may feel like we're running to stay ahead of the race of the enemy. But what the word the Lord really gave me was in reference to King Saul. He simply said to me, the king is in pursuit. That king, being King Saul, represents the world and its rule. He's jealous. He's angry. And he wants to remove anything that is a threat to his rule. And what we are experiencing now is an escalation in that clash of kingdoms. It's a dismantling. The Lord's allowed this to rise up, just like he did in the time of Samuel, where the people cried out, give us a king to judge us. Samuel prayed. It's not what he wanted to, but the Lord answered him. He said, obey the voice of the people and all they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they've rejected me from being king over all. Hence, Saul became king. You know, it grieves me when I read that and thought about it, but that's exactly what we're all dealing with right now. The kings of this world are rejecting everything. And yet, just like David, we are faithful. We are in that position of being in that cave. You know, one of the things the Lord Yeshua told us, the kingdom divided against itself couldn't stand. Well, there's division everywhere because the kingdoms of this world have to be shaken. But there's a great responsibility on all of us because we were born to be here during this time. While this shaking comes, it's his story, it's his restitution of all things to himself. It's his true kingdom being birthed. And as David did in that cave in Gedi, we must have that kingdom perspective. Humility, not our own desires, not trying to make things happen, as we've already heard. You know, what would have happened if David listened to the voice of his men and took Saul's life? Everything would have been different. But David knew that he must wait on the appointed timing of the Lord. And so it is with us. You know, David served for 7 years under Saul. He made music. He sat at his very feet of this king when he knew he was the anointed one. Saul tried to kill him with a spear, even tried to kill his son Jonathan. So David went on the run until the final death of Saul. All the while, he knew he was the anointed king. And he could have taken matters in his own hand, but he didn't. What David did in that cave was amazing. It was a glimpse of something of a higher calling. The scripture tells us that David, after he cut that off, he went out. He waited for Saul and his men to get a safe distance. And then he went out of the cave and he said, my Lord, the king. See, he honored him for his earthly position. And of course, when Saul looked up, David bowed and prostrated himself to the ground to this earthly king. That's a hard thing to think about. Here's a man who's chasing to kill you, and yet David respected a God-given position. Maintain that higher position of waiting, that trust that we just talked about, because he knew the Lord ultimately would accomplish his goal. Just like us, we need to be separate and standing on that higher ground, led by the Spirit, and not engaging the enemy unless the Lord himself guides you. You know, it's a tough word, but again, it's about trust. It's about the Lord's heart, being right with the Lord. David says this to Saul, may the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. You know, the kingdoms of this world are going to fall, and each one of us has a role in that, but it's all about his heart, his timing. As Sharon said, he's going to move the pieces. He's going to answer the prayers. It's about a position of humility. David demonstrated that when he bowed. And I love this quote from Catherine Kuhlman. She says this, wherever you find real love, you will also find humility. Remember something, humility is not weak and a timid quality. Too often we feel that humility is a sign of weakness. This is not so. It is a sign of strength and security. That's the security we have in him. You know, he's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And right now, he's watching each of us to make sure that we are aligned. That's our part in this, to have our heart and our focus on Him and allowing His kingdom to come to bear on this earth. He wants nothing more than our trust and our humility to be in Him so that He can bring about the true change. There's a responsibility in that. You know, and as these pieces change, I wanted to leave you with this amazing thing here that talks about Israel's heart. Proverbs 24, it says, if your enemy falls, do not exalt. If he trips, let your heart not rejoice. Again, David demonstrated that with Saul, also with his son Absalom, who had caused him great pain, and yet he grieved over each situation. Something amazing happens each Passover Seder, where the Jews separate this. They remove some wine in their cups to sympathize with the Egyptian suffering that happened in the process of redemption. The Jewish people hold this value true and make effort to provide care and assistance, not just to their own people, but the people of all faiths, nationalities. There's something key that represents that wine, that love, represents the Father's heart. And in all of this that's taking place before us, it's about that place of quiet submission in Him. As He brings all these forces to bear, we have such a role and such power in things that He wants to do in each of us. Every time we come together like this for these calls, prayers, intercession, I just pray the Lord's heart grows stronger and stronger in each of us. He's such an amazing God. He has such an amazing love for all of us. And yes, there will be a changing of the guard. The kingdoms of this world will come down. And the time is now. Lord, we just love You and we praise You for what You're doing, Your Spirit that's moving mightily through all of us, through all the people of the world, and through the nations as You continue to reshape the landscape. Lord, may we echo that very place of submission, humility, trust, and most of all, Your great changing love. Lord, we just give You all the glory, honor, and praise for all You do and all You are. In Your precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Matt. Powerful. Pastor Jim Gregory, do you have anything that the Lord's put on your heart that or tie in with what we've done tonight? Or a prayer?
Hello, everybody. I came to listen in. That was my participation. But being that I'm not one to back down, being that my friend Wade Butler asked me to say something, I can echo what everybody has said tonight, and what the Lord's been dealing with me about is the absolution of of everything. He put it to me this way, Ephesians 2:2 talks about walking through the course of this world. And he asked me about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I've shared this with Wade, he asked me, when are you going to absolutely no longer walk through the course of this world? Now, you know, he's asking that question of a fellow that doesn't think he's walking through the course of this world, right? So I said, okay. I said, I'm going to get all my experiences back out, all my notes, everything I've ever known. I'm going to lay them back out before You and let You tell me, show me how to go deeper. One of the terms that's been floating around is how to be operational instead of just expectational. in all of the scripture that's shared tonight, there's a measure of even what Pastor Stephen has shared with the dry bones. That there was a time that was a vision where Ezekiel was carried out to the valley of the dry bones. And there was a time when that vision became operational. It was no longer just something to be prophetically uttered, no longer a time to just be spoken about amongst those seeking to know more about God. But there was a time that it became operational. And can these bones live? Jeremiah 8 talks about the graves of the royalty that were desecrated, and the bones were revealed. And then Matthew 27 again perhaps speaks to that army of Ezekiel 37 coming alive. And so what I would share with everybody tonight is I'm operational. I'm absolute. I am taking everything that everyone has said tonight, and I'm putting it into right now practicality, not trying to run ahead of my Heavenly Father. But I believe when we talk about things of going to a new dimension, on one hand, we feel that, we know that, we know it's a new dimension, we know it's a new power, deeper power, same authority, but a deeper revelation of that. But when we go to that new dimension, we got to leave aside the thinking from the previous dimension. Absolutely. We cannot walk around on the seventh day with six day thinking, sixth day attire. We got to have a seventh day attire on it. Went to a meeting this past weekend, and I'm going to share. I'm going to share a little bit ahead of time, Wade. I'll catch up with you tomorrow on it. But a man was speaking in the meeting, and from Iuka, Mississippi. He didn't know I was going to be there. I didn't know he was going to be there. I get there. And he said, I've got a specific word from the Lord for somebody in this place tonight. God said, I'm taking you to a new dimension. Now, we've all heard that before, but what he didn't know is that Wade and I had just spoke about 3 hours prior about this new dimension. Amen? We just spoke about this new dimension. And what I'm saying and what I'm bringing forward tonight is this is absolute, folks. This is operational. We're not waiting on something to happen. We are just coming under the faucet of where it's happening. I'm just like you. I'm trying to figure it out. But when we say that somebody else is doing this and somebody else is doing that, talking about the shadow governments, the deep state and the cabal, even though in one respect practically they may be doing that, I'm not giving them any dominion and authority that we as the sons, the children of God, have. Our authority and our dominion is, again, back to Ephesians 2, is that dominion and authority that comes from being seated with our Father in heavenly places. That place is beyond any dominion and authority known to any created being, and it's absolute. And we must be absolute and resolute and walking in that. And so what I'm doing is I am spending every bit of my conscious time. Okay, what's this mean? Help me understand. I'm respectful of not going ahead of you, Daddy, not falling behind you, but there is something urgent and compelling upon me that says that I am no longer going to walk to the course of this world absolutely. I'm walking to the course of your kingdom 100%. In every aspect, law, media, family, every mountain of government, the seven mountains, and resources and everything of that nature. So we love you all. We appreciate you. I appreciate, and I'm encouraged by the word tonight. And I don't mean to take away from anything, but I want to add that I'm operational in the mighty name of Yeshua.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. We are operational as kingdom heirs and joint heirs. I'm going to ask for a couple people to pray, and then I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to pull it all together at the very end here. There are people that have some physical issues that I want us to lift up. And
And if I don't know about it, that's what we try to do on the pre-calls, get some of these things, get an indicator. But I'm going to ask for specific people to pray for a few folks. And Bruce and Linda, I'm going to ask you to, Martha King, Vern King, she's my cousin, and her husband's a dear friend for 30-plus years, actually closer to 40 years now, and he's an ordained pastor and minister, and he's going to be going with me overseas, matter of fact, he's going to be joining us at times. And his wife, Martha, has come down with what they're calling the mess. We're not going to use that word. Let's just say the corona, the crown of the enemy is trying to come upon her, and she's standing. Would you lift up Martha King and stand against this virus and this bacterial infection real quick, sir? And ma'am.
We will do that. And Linus is the husband?
No, no. Vern King.
Vern, okay.
Yeah. Vern and Martha King.
Okay, got it. Praise God. Father, we thank you that you are the author of life. Father, we speak life over Martha. Anything that is inconsistent with the life of God, we command that to die in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We just see that shriveling and dying right now and falling to her feet, Father, where she will crush it underfoot. I thank you. No sickness, disease, disease, or any foul thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Yeshua can live and move and have its being in Martha or Vern's lives. I thank you, Father God. You've knit their hearts together as one. And Father, with you, they are powerful. They are more powerful than any sickness or disease or anything that can come against them that the enemy would throw at them. I thank you for lifting up Martha's arms right now, for strengthening her in her inner man, her inner woman, as the case might be. But Father God, I thank you that she is your child. Father, she is your responsibility. You have created her. You can restore, and I believe you are doing it now in the name of Yeshua. And Father, we thank you for Vern as well, Father, that he is a mighty man of God. Father God, he shall go forth and do and accomplish and be what you have called him to do and accomplish to be. Father God, that he will accomplish his part in your plan and purpose, Lord, and it shall not fall short. I thank you for the complete and perfect work you're doing in both of them and through them for your honor and your glory in Yeshua's holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. John, has Janet gotten back? Is she with you or is she out of town? I didn't catch that this morning.
Nope, she's here.
Janet, I'm going to ask you and John together on this one. Because of all the grandchildren you have, the grandchildren, you know, it's people's children, but grandchildren seem to be under attack. I know my youngest, who's not quite two, goes to kindergarten, comes home with some other child's socks on, and ended up with hand, foot, and mouth virus, you know, the blisters, and now is giving it to his brother. You know, it's awful hard to keep, you know, a year and a half apart, keep them away from each other at home. And so Kristen had ended up staying home with both of them. And then Nell's daughter has overcome the virus and great concern about her children. And so she has two children. My daughter has two, and about the attacks. And then Matt's granddaughter, Luna, she continues to grow and be in health. But basically, the grandchildren of all the families represented here tonight, if you two would lift them up, because you have, you know, many yourselves, so greatly would appreciate that if you all would lift those grandchildren up.
Is that muted?
Yep.
Okay. Father God, we just come before you tonight, and we praise you that you give us family. You give us children and grandchildren that is your family as well. But we are concerned for the younger ones because Satan is busy and he's wanting to attack the most vulnerable. And so we just speak against any attacks that the young children are receiving. We break those assignments against disease, against influence of the negative, against programming. We just break all of that because that is not of you. And we want your light to shine in them and of them instead of the other side. And so in Jesus' name, we just break all of those assignments against the children. In Yeshua's name.
And Father, as continue, we command that the healing of these precious children be healed and that they be, those diseases fall off of them and that they can get back to being little ones that just don't have many cares and just to go and play and have fun and enjoy life how you've wanted them and made them to be. And they all are special and they all are made in your image. And we just praise you and thank you for that. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Deanna Lund, I know that you express the tremendous loss that you've experienced with prayer team members, and I know you've been praying. But you also know, because of your walk, that sometimes the greatest anointing is from those who are suffering. If you want to get healed, have somebody sick pray for you. If you want to get finances, have those that don't have much finances pray for you, because their level of faith is strong. There's so many losing people. I've lost people. You've lost so many. Matt's lost a key person in the ministry. And God, I don't think it is a judgment at all. I actually believe the Lord is taking on many of the generals because there's going to be new generals rising up. There's going to be new leaders rising up. Would you pray for the families that have had the loss and for those that are going to step up into those positions? I know it's
sure.
A big mouthful.
Yeah, that's okay. Father, I just lift up all of the people across the world, Lord. I lift up everyone, Lord, who has lost loved ones, especially in this time of deception of what's really happening, Lord. And then not being able to be at the hospitals with some of these people, I ask that you would comfort them, comfort these families, give them hope for the future, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are taking people home because it's their time and they were not meant to be here. But we are graced with the awesomeness of being able to ride through this and watch your word take form right in front of us. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the new people that you are raising up, that all these people you've taken home have mantles. And we thank you that those mantles are falling on the new people, Lord, especially the youth, Lord, that they are rising up in this hour, Father God, to do the right thing around the world. And we just thank you, Father God, for your glory, your great glory that is starting to fall in many places, Father. And we just call forth the people who are to be in the kingdom for this hour. We say, come forth into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Jesus, we thank you for sending out the harvesting angels to bring in that harvest and to bring a new, fresh revelation to these people, Father God, that a revelation like we've never seen, a supernatural faith, Lord. Let your supernatural faith fall on all of us, Lord, and rejoice that those you have taken home, holy cow, they're living in paradise now. They're rejoicing before the throne. I mean, they really got it good. But, Lord, I know that it's going to be really good here for us because your word says it. Says it in Isaiah 60 again. When it gets dark here, it's gonna, our lights are gonna shine, and it's gonna be wonderful in your kingdom, and we're gonna see your hand move, and it's just an exciting time, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the excitement that you put in all of us, especially the new ones that are coming into the kingdom and being raised up for this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Matt, I know you're tired, but I got a special request for you. Michael Halsey, the pastor that the Rhema pastor that's getting ready to go to the Philippines representing us, he's having a heart procedure in the morning. He's got an irregular heartbeat, you know, where they go in and go into the heart and shock it, you know. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to reset the timing of his heart, and I forget what it's called, arrhythmia or what, I'm not sure. But he's having that done at 10 in the morning, and he's asked that we would have a leader pray. So, Matt, if you would, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for Michael and his willingness to just be that voice crying out and just travel to places like Philippines to go do your work, your kingdom work, Lord. And as he gets ready to have surgery, Lord, we just see your hand upon him right now. And we see his heart being healed. And most of all, Lord, this irregular heartbeat. We talked about it already. Lord, we see your hand upon him so that your perfect timing will be just brought to bear on his heart. It'll be healed, he'll be strengthened, and that your great glory will be upon him as he travels abroad. Lord, we just pray for him. We pray for the family. We pray for your continued spirit to just be ever present upon him, and just guide the doctors as they do this procedure on him. And Lord, we just wait to see the testimony that's going to come as a result of this. We just give you the glory, honor, and praise in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to sum it up a little bit, and then I'm going to ask Steve Loopster to close us. You know, we talked about a few different things tonight. We talked about celebrating and the time, that we're in the time of actually a celebration when Christ was born. And that has everything to do with that redemptive plan in the angels. Veronica West came out with she always comes out with powerful stuff. She's a crazy redhead out of Scotland that just brings radical word, and I always enjoy the time that she brings that word. But this ties in so well. This was a couple hours ago. She said, watch as my angel armies go forth to fight for you, to defend and protect you and demonstrate to you that which is made fully, that you are made fully dependent and reliant upon me, says the Lord. She says, watch as my glory goes forth to war for you and my righteous hand moves to annihilate the adversaries and drive out the devouring spirits that are in the midst of you. For your enemies are my enemies. Watch. Watch and see and hear and listen. Watch as I breathe my resurrection power upon this battlefield, and the great altar of the awakening is taking place to bring life to an army of dry bones. And the fires of my glory shall set their hearts ablaze with my power and mine anointing and my authority. Now is the hour. Now is the time. Now is that we need to press in and just rejoice in the Lord and give thanks unto him, because we can't do the work. We just have to pray, be obedient, and then let him. And then he says, sit back and watch. He says, because I'm about to do mighty things. I'm about to do mighty things in nations. Not just in your life, but the nations. And there's going to be a shift. And that shift is going to be such a shaking that the world is going to have to sit back and take notice. Because I'm sending my son to do a job He's got my signet ring. He's got my power and authority, and he's given it unto you. So you pray, you speak it, you decree and declare it, and watch me do it. What a promise. What a promise. So, Lord, we choose to do that which you called us to do, which is seek you and pray. Steve Lufster, will you close us in prayer, and then I'm just going to say a word of thanks for everybody.
It would be an honor. Everything that has been said here tonight, my heart resonates because I am, like so many, have seen God doing that in real life. And the call tonight seems to be for us to, the word was activate, to believe, to trust. And so, Father, we come before you tonight in the name, the mighty name of Yeshua, whose life, whose coming we celebrate in this season. And you didn't come, Lord, that we might be wimps. You came that we might be your ambassadors and your representatives, and we might demonstrate your power and walk in your power and move in your power and speak in your power against the forces of darkness in this world system. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is now speaking in terms that are strong and powerful and urgent for us in these days. And so, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us with the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives within us. And so raise up that power in us that we might hear clearly and act with power, with resolution on your behalf, and watch your glory spread across this earth, that the knowledge of the glory of God might cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. And you've given us the promise, Lord, in Hosea chapter 6, that if we seek you and we press on to know you, that as surely as the sun rises in the dawn, you will come to us. And we stand on the promises of your word that have been given tonight, and we thank you for what you're going to do. And it's not going to be anything about us. It's going to be everything about you, everything about who you are, and who you want us to be, and who you want to demonstrate yourself as in this world. Everything is about you, and we give you the glory, and we give you the honor, we give you the praise, we give you the worship, we give you our lives, and we worship and praise and glorify your mighty name in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior, who's coming soon. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I want to thank everybody. Stephen, I thank you for coming and representing all of our northern family. And what a powerful word that you had. And I, as you know, have you heard anything now about the elections yet, Stephen?
There's results trickling in. Nothing interesting just yet. Fairly okay. Typical from Eastern Canada. So.
Yeah.
I've seen posts on some of the people I follow on Twitter where they're talking about the fixes in, and the generals are watching. So we'll see. We might have a similar outcome as in America, but there isn't actually a national leader on this that's on the ballot, that's leading a party that's actually worth going to bat for. So it's going to be a different kind of shakeup here in Canada.
Well, from some of my associates in the military, they said that they expect a major shift because of the military interaction behind the scenes today and tonight. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
In America, you're saying?
No, Canada.
Oh, here, Canada, a major military shift in Canada.
Yep. Yep, it's going to be brought about because of the elections. And so I don't know what that is. They, you know, Matt works for the government. Tightest lip people in the world are the ones that work for the government, except for the politicians, and they got loose lips. But, you know, he wouldn't give me any details other than the fact that they expect a interesting outcome. And
we know our friend Barry has seen generals underground in Canada covered in the oil of the Lord. And
all right. Well,
they're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. Yeah. They're making major effort. So we're gonna stand in agreement with you. Pastor Jim Gregory, as always, man, I love you. Appreciate you so much. Thank you for coming on tonight and bringing that in part of it. And
thank you for not clicking log him off whenever I dialed in late.
Yeah. It's been a good night. It's been a good night all over. Everybody had a good word tonight, and prayer's good. The Lord's told me to shut it down by 9:15, and I'm going to be obedient. Matt, is there anything you wish to close with?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, John?
I'm good as well as Janet, too, I think.
Okay, Sharon? Yep.
I think that I just want to add what he showed me today regarding that we yoke ourselves to things with our words, and he wants us to break those yokes with our words that we created those yokes with. And he'll show you what the words were, and he'll show you how to break them. And then when I was walking my spiritual daughter through healing, I watched the Lord take her. He stood her in front of the altar. He stirred her to the side of the altar. It was up, raised up like a raised up bed. And he took her hand in his, and he was very gentle about it, but I told her what I was seeing. I said, I'm watching him take you by the hand, and he's helping you get up on the altar. And that's not a fun thing to think. It's not, you know, good, I'm going to get up there and get burned alive, right? And so what the Lord showed me was that he wanted her to know it's not what you think. It's really not ever what we think in our fleshy minds. And so I said, you know, here's what he's saying, Mandy, is it's not what you think. You're going to get up on that altar, and yes, he's going to burn up the things that are not of God in you. And she was still a little bit hesitant, and he said, with his fire of love. It's a fire of love that he burns up the works of darkness in, because he said the enemy, the kingdom of darkness, cannot endure his fire of love. And I feel like that's what he would like to leave everyone with. So thank you
so much. I say goodnight to everybody. I'm going to turn the recording off. We'll be on for just a moment.